Ask an interest in your prayers today and want the Lord to bless this time. Have you ever felt like in your experience with the Lord that you were walking in the pouring rain? Have you ever felt like you had headwinds blowing in your face? Hard winds. Stinging rain. Didn't know if you were going to make it through that or not. The Lord's always there. Always will be. I'd like to just share a little tidbit. I was visiting with an older minister recently, and he was sharing a couple of things with me. And he had been in a meeting with some brethren and other ministers, and they were sharing counsel to one another. At this time, this older brother was a young man, young minister at the time, and he turned to Brother Austis Wilson and asked him, "What counsel would you give to me in my ministry?" Brother Austis looked at him and said, "My counsel to you would be that you make your ministry constructive and instructive." Well, the Lord help us when we bring the Word, that we do it in such a way that it is constructive, building up, and instructive, where it educates. There are ways to present sometimes controversial subjects that are constructive and instructive, not confrontational. Now, this morning, I don't have any kind of a confrontational subject on my mind. That's just a side shoot. But I appreciate the counsel that Brother Austis gave to that man. And I thought, Lord, will you please help me to do the same? To be constructive and instructive in those things that you put in my mind to share. I want to say this morning, I don't know how else to term it, maybe just kind of some romantic thoughts this last week, thinking of the congregation and people here. I thought about those who have worshipped here for many years and stepped off the stage of action. Oh, there's been so many. So many over the years that my mind thinks about, and I wouldn't begin to try to name them because I could very easily leave someone out. Wouldn't mean they'd be less important to me. But just because my mind doesn't think of all of the names, I sit down and write those things down. And I remember the contributions that they had and things that they would share. Remember their testimonies where they would sit, the places they would occupy in the congregation and in the work of the Lord. What a blessing that would be. And I also think of the time, it seems almost impossible to me, that it's been nearly 20 years that I have stood in this place, in this congregation, as pastor. It seems almost impossible. But it has been. As I look back over the years and subtract the timelines, it's been almost 20 years. And in that 20 years, my, haven't there been some things that's changed over those years. I remember not too long ago at home, when my children were young, I purchased a video cassette camcorder. And I took VHS movies of my children and their playmates, birthday parties, special occasions, Christmas. I took videos of those. I took videos of school occasions, programs, things of that nature. And recently I had seen one of those. The children were wanting to see some of that, and I I played that, some of that, we played some of that back for them. I've made it my practice to confine it to that. Home movies for my children. But in doing that, I looked at the faces there. And many of you were little children. You were little children. You hadn't even considered who your lifelong companion would be at that point. You were going through your formative school years. You were being educated. You were going to Sunday school classes. And I thought of that and I thought, my now. Fast forward all of these years, and those little children whose images were on that screen, those little children now sit in places within the congregation accepting responsibility of places of leadership within the congregation. I thought, oh my Lord, will you please help me and help us to instill in their hearts and their minds those things that they need to be stable, to be able to stand in those places that when we step off the scene, as those behind us have done, step off the stage of action, that there will be those who are stepping onto the stage who are capable and able, embracing those same precious values and truths that we have held for so many years, that we believe are taught by the precious Word of God, and we embrace. So I want to say to you this morning, thinking about all of those things and looking back 20 plus years, I have confidence in the youth. It helps me be more assured that God is fully able to speak to all of you. To all of you. Wherever you may go in life, God is able to speak to you. Wherever your path leads you, if you stay here and He allows you to develop in your walk with Him here, or wherever, if you move to another area and attend worship services in another congregation, He is able to cause you to be effective for Him wherever you may go. I thank the Lord for that. So this morning, my little burden is growth and maturity. Growth, maturity. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'd like to pick up a verse here. The Apostle Paul says in the 11th verse of 1 Corinthians 13, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." That's what has happened over the years. I've sat in Sunday school classes, taught in young people's classes, had chapel services here in this building with young minds, and they ask questions. And the questions are serious to them. But many times the questions don't have a lot of depth or meat to them, but they're serious to them. "When I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. I spake as a child." Just as I would have done those many years ago, I remember being in Sunday school class and trying to stand up to say a verse and couldn't even squeak out the words, because my knees were trembling and my voice was shaking and my throat was so tight I couldn't even squeeze out the words, and tears running down my face because I was terrified, petrified to stand up in front of people. To stand up in front of people and say anything. I tell you, folks, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And so have you. As you have grown up in life, when you were a child, when you were young, when you were children, I remember listening to you, watching you, seeing you, hearing you sing. I have some video evidence of the things that you have done over the years. Not bad things. Children things. Things that children do. Not bad things. Mischievous things? Sure. Careless things? Yes. All of us who are adults in this congregation today, is there anyone that could say, I'm not going to ask you to do it, but is there anyone that could say you've never done anything reckless, careless, dangerous? I doubt it. But as you grow older, you start assessing things and understanding what it means to, I need to get up to go to work tomorrow because now it's not just me. I have a wife and I have children and I have mouths to feed and bills to pay. So maybe I better not get out there and play football with these young men today. Because the last time I did that, it hurt. And it took me 3 or 4 days to be able to get back on my feet so I could work again. We start reassessing those things. You understand what I mean? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now that's in a natural way, but I want us to think concerning spiritual things. I hear questions that children will ask, and I realize that they're asking them out of curiosity and wanting to understand. And I say, Lord, will you help me to be able to share with them those things that will cause their minds to be able to absorb this information and to think. I want them to think. I want them to think about what is ahead of them. I want them to think about what it is they're reading. I want them to think about the question that they're asking. I want them to have more questions to be generated from the question that they just asked. I want them to be able to study. I want them to look into things. I want them to have inquiring minds. I want them to be filled with curiosity, not just because they're curious, but because they're eager to learn and understand. I want that in their schoolwork, and I want that in the Word of God. I want that in the principles of life, so that when they step off of that stage of being a child, and they begin to step into that place of being a man and adulthood, that they have things instilled in their hearts and their minds that make them able and capable to function in a society that desperately needs stability. This society desperately needs stability. So the Apostle Paul, he said that when I became a man, I put away childish things. Does that mean that I never have a lighthearted thought? No. Does that mean that I never dream? No. There are times when my mind tells me, yes, sir, you can do it. Go get it. My body tells me differently. In my mind, I still think of things as a teenager, as a 20-year-old, the things that I could get out there and do. But in my body, I know that's a fool's thinking because I'm not able to do those things anymore. And what I could, I need to be careful and pace myself. Now turn with me to the book of John, chapter 21. Begin with the first verse, and we'll read down through verse 19. This is after Jesus had been resurrected, and He had appeared to the disciples. And if you will remember, Peter, being one who was very vocal, outspoken. A lot of times didn't think before he spoke. He was one of those kind. He didn't really always think before he just said something. He paid for that several times. But here's a time where the Lord, you remember that Peter had said to the Lord, Jesus had told Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, I'll not do it. I'll never do it. I'll die with you. But Peter did deny the Lord. And a little farther down in this chapter, there's some conversation that Jesus had with Peter that Peter has reflecting on that time. But here is where Jesus comes to the disciples. They have, of course, thought a lot of things. They had seen Jesus, their leader, master, Messiah, hauled away, put to trial, crucified, put in the tomb. All those things have an impact on the mind, folks. Those things that we see with our eyes have an impact on our minds. It had an impact on these men. So here, with a little bit of uncertainty and not sure what was to be in the future, we pick up their story. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus. Thomas was the one in the previous chapter, if you remember. They said, we've seen the Lord. He said, I'll not believe it. I won't believe it till I put my hand in His side and my fingers in His nail press. I won't believe it till I see it. And so Thomas was here in this group. Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. There's nothing wrong with going fishing, but I read into this that there was just a little uncertainty about what is it that I do now? Where do I go now? I worked with this man. I followed him. I listened to his teachings. I embraced him. I failed him. I went out and prayed for forgiveness. He looked at me with such a heart of love. But it's different right now. I'm not sure which way it's going to go. So I'll go fishing. It's what I used to do. So I'll go fishing. They say unto him, we go with you. Me too. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. That's kind of familiar territory for them. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And saith he unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. No. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Familiar scene unfolding before their eyes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish, which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, "Who art Thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me more than these?" He saith unto Him, "Yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee." He saith unto Him, "Feed My lambs." I want to draw two contrasts here in this verse. Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Do you love Me more than these?" What Jesus was asking Peter in this word love, lovest, if you would look in the Greek translation, that word that Jesus used is agape love. That type of love is a sacrificing love, a self-sacrificing love. So Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love Me enough to have a self-sacrificing love?" Peter's response was, "Yea, Lord, You know I love You." But his word was not agape. His word was filial. "You know that I care for You." That's not what Jesus asked him. He said, "Do you agape Me? Do you love Me with a self-sacrificing love?" Peter wasn't able to say yes. He said, "You know I love You. You know I have affection for You. You know that I have affinity for You. You know that I care for You as a friend. You know that." So Jesus said unto him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me?" Again, agape. Peter's response, "Lord, You know I love You." Again, filial. Jesus says, "Feed My sheep." 17th verse, Jesus said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me?" This time, Jesus used the word philios, filial. "Simon, son of Jonas, that's the depth of Your love to Me? It's not agape, Simon. It's tenderness toward Me, care and concern about Me, but it's not agape." No, Jesus was asking a very pointed question to him. "Simon, son of Jonas, filios Me?" That's as deep as it can go, Peter. Peter was grieved because He said to him the third time, "Lovest thou Me?" I'll tell you, folks, that would be a grievous transaction to take place between the Messiah and one who had embraced Himself to Him. "Is that the best, Peter, that you can tell Me?" You can't go any deeper than that, Peter. All you can say is that you have care and concern about Me, but not self-sacrificing love. And Peter was grieved because he said to him that third time, "Is that the best you can do?" He answered him, "Lord, You know all things. You know that I filios Thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed My sheep." I'll tell you, folks, there are going to be some strong headwinds that you will face in life that will challenge you to your core about your convictions and your sincerity in serving God and the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. Peter faced that. You and I will face that. And it's a phase of life that we must be able to walk through. There are places there we must be able to walk through and come through the other side with victory in order to have growth and maturity. I said to you early on, I look out across the congregation and I remember seeing the faces of many in the congregation who were just children 20 years ago who have stepped into roles of responsibility. That's 20 years ago. And they've stepped into places where they were willing to step in and step up and do things that they probably never thought would land at their doorstep. Would have never thought that this was going to be what the Lord would ask me to do at some point in my life. But the Lord has a way of putting every one of us through tests and trials along the way to help us to get deeper and stronger and more solid in our relationship with Him, so that when the time comes that He came to Peter as He did and said, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my lambs." He looked at Peter and He knew the struggles that Peter had. He knew the impulsiveness that he had. But He also knew that there was something coming that was going to change this man and make him different. So He says in the 18th verse, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked wherever you would." Oh, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. When you were young, you got yourself dressed. You got ready and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you'll stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." I want to encourage you today, parents rearing your children, do everything you can to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them. Give them instruction. Put them in a setting as much as is possible and as lies within you. Put them in a setting where they can have friends that have like precious faith. Put them in an environment. Take them to meetings. Take them to camp meetings. Take them to occasions where those who have like precious faith, they can be together and enjoy time together. And they can have fun playing football. They can have fun playing softball. And have fun playing volleyball and kickball or whatever it is that they do. That they can enjoy those kinds of times. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But there will come a time when that begins to make a transition. And the childish things begin to fall away. And they start stepping into places of taking responsibilities, going to jobs, making their own way in life, home, family. Those are things that we want them to be able to do and enjoy. Growth and maturity. Peter was one who had a lot of energy. The Lord wanted to use that energy. He wanted to temper that energy. And here's what one of the commentators says concerning this passage that we just read, 21:15 through 19. "Hitherto," he virtually says to them, "ye have been as sheep, needing to be guided, watched over, and defended by the wisdom and courage of another. Now, however, the time has arrived when ye must become shepherds, able and willing to do for the weak what I have done for you. Hitherto you have left me to care for you. Henceforth, you must accustom yourselves to be looked to as guardians, even as I have been by you. Hitherto you have been as children under me, your parent. Henceforth, you must yourselves be parents, taking charge of the children." Years of a man's life are 70, if by reason of strength 80. I realize there are many who go beyond the 80. But I say to you this, you heard me some time back talk about the arc of life. When you start out here, you're so dependent. So fully dependent. You need somebody to feed you. You need somebody to clean you. You need somebody to pick you up and carry you, to put you in the stroller, to put you in the car seat, to buckle you up and take you where you need to go. And you start making your traverse along that arc. And you get stronger and stronger and more capable, able. You tell me by the natural course of life what happens over the years. You look at the ark. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Many times we find parallels. Not always exactly, but we find parallels. Here, this 30-year-old and 50-year-old, there's not a whole lot of difference between the strength and ability of those two groups of people. Maybe endurance-wise, but strength-wise, not a lot. 20 and 60, there's quite a bit of difference there. This ascendancy is gaining knowledge and understanding, growing. This, by the time he's got to that point of 60 years old, he's pretty well seen most everything life can throw. Oh, there's a few things yet. But by this time, pretty well seen most everything that life's going to throw at you. There's hardly any surprise that's going to come to you once you get to this place. Now, maybe I'm wrong and I could stand to be corrected. But I say, look at this arc, folks. When we come down to this phase of life, look where we are. Is there much difference between here and here? It's what is required and what we need. Sometimes we come to this phase of life where we're coming down to the end of the journey. And I've seen it. And I know you have too. Where I need somebody to take me where it is that I need to go. I need somebody to drive me there. I need somebody to help me fix what needs to be fixed because I'm not able to do it anymore. I'll tell you, folks, it's a blessing from the Lord to be able to look at these things in the Word of God and understand the importance of it and apply it to our own lives. And reach that place and phase in life where we understand that we need to have love and appreciation and respect for one another and have growth and maturity and realize that when the Lord gives me the opportunity and the ability to thank Him for it and realize that there are those that have traveled that path before me and look back over my life with thanksgiving. And I remember well what this brother said to me when he asked Brother Austis about what counsel do you give me concerning my ministry. I counsel you, young man, to make your ministry constructive and instructive. I say to us, folks, there ought to be phrases like that that ring in our minds over the years. Things that people who have been solid and stable and steadfast have shared with you along the way that cause you to be a changed individual about how you look at things, how you approach things in the Word of God and in life in general. Because you've got growth and maturity. You have come to those places where the Lord wants to put you in a place of responsibility. He wants to entrust you with those things that are precious to Him in His Word and those who embrace His Word. He wants you to be a part of forming minds and making changes with them and for them giving them instruction along the way. I appreciate so much your time and attention this morning. I pray God will help us always, as long as He spares time and we live in this world, that there will be an established congregation right here, moving on with the same things that you and I have heard over the years. May God bless each one is my prayer today. You pray for me, folks. Let's earnestly pray for one another. We have a foe that is out there, the enemy that comes for no other reason but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, never forget these words. Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen.